Hi everyone, welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's Memorial Day weekend, so I'm sure everyone is trying to get off of work early and go relax in the sun or go do something fun. You'll have to forgive me during this talk today. I still have a bad residual cough that I'm trying to shake, so forgive me for all the coughing. Today's topic, however, is going to be on channeling. I thought this would be really interesting to discuss with you today, given that this is something that I used to do. I don't really do it as much anymore since I've had a lot of life changes. This hasn't been priority, and I definitely don't teach anybody how to channel, but I thought it would be a really interesting topic for us to cover today. So I'm sure that most of you who are in this type of community and have, you know, this type of interest in general already know what channeling is. I don't know if you've actually had the opportunity to see what I call a trance channeler, but if not, I highly, highly think you should go do this. And I'm going to tell you a story towards the middle of this conversation about my first time watching a trance channeler, and I guess kind of my only time seeing one in person. Okay, so what exactly is channeling? So channeling is just a mode of communication with spirits. And I say all kinds of spirits across the universe. So it's not limited to your spirit guides or to your angels or archangels. I think it really relates to all types of beings, whatever that may actually be. I can't say that I've ever, when I was channeling, that I've spoken to everything across, you know, the universe, but I did have unexpected occurrences during that time, which I'll share with you as well. But simply put, channeling is being able to commune with spirits, period. Now, I think everybody is under the assumption that when you're channeling, that a spirit comes inside your body, takes over, and that's what it is. Not so. There are types of channeling. So I would say the one we're most familiar with is the trance channeling, is the idea that you have an agreement with whatever spirit it is, and you are allowing them to utilize your physical body, and they're inside your body, and they're relaying messages through you to a group of people. Now, as the body itself, as kind of the host, more often than not, you're not going to remember the messages that are coming through you. And usually those sessions are recorded completely. So I would say that's the most common type in terms of what people understand to be channeling. Now, the other type of channeling, I would call it conscious channeling, where you are channeling an entity and a message from an entity, but you still retain control over your body and over the mechanics of your body, right? So you don't forget what the message is, but you are consciously aware of the message and information being transmitted through your, I can say through your body, but really through your mind. And in terms of conscious channeling, I'm not sure if most people handwrite the message as they're receiving it, or if they're speaking it. I'm not quite certain, but I think it varies. There's really kind of like no wrong answer to that. So I think, like I said, channeling is commonly accepted in this community. And, you know, I think that's actually a very good thing. I'm not that skeptical in terms of complete channeling, but I also retain my common sense. So when something doesn't seem right to me, usually it just doesn't seem right. I'm not going to agree, and I'm just not going to be receptive to the message. And that's okay. You know, and it's okay if you don't believe and if you're skeptical. I think it's very healthy to be, you know, to use your ego to be skeptical of a channeler, especially if the message isn't really resonating with you. So let's talk a little bit about how somebody actually channels, because that's where I think the difficulty is. I think I said at the beginning, I've never really taught somebody how to channel, because I feel like the mechanics of it's really difficult to explain, not necessarily very difficult to do. It's just I think it's different for a lot of people. I don't think the process is the same. And again, I'm not very good at teaching that specifically. I have kind of tried, but not put my real effort into it. But the one thing I can tell you, and from what I have read, it's really necessary for you to, number one, build a bridge to higher realms. We've talked about on here the need to raise your vibration and why that is so freaking important. And it does sound a little bit, alien to people who have never heard this language before in terms of, well, what's the vibration and why do I need to raise it and why can't I just commune as I am? I totally get it. I didn't understand it at the beginning either, but you actually really do have to raise your vibration. And case in point, let me tell you a side story. So I remember when I first started practicing mediumship, because I'm a natural medium. That's what I always used to hear as a kid, were deceased spirits. And one of my guides stepped forward at the very beginning. I never saw him, but I could hear him so well. And they were bringing through a family member. I could clearly see, and it was like my eyes were open, but I could clearly see the doors of the other side opening, and it was all gold light shooting out, and archangels were bringing forth an old family member, and I heard my guide tell me during that time, adjust your vibration, adjust your vibration. And if you could see me in the room at home, I was looking around like, what the hell are you talking about? Adjust your vibration. What the hell is that? I had no freaking clue, you guys. I really didn't. There was a lot of trial and error for me. A lot. Too many scary stories too. But I remember him telling me that because you do have to adjust your vibration to be able to reach the higher realms and to keep and maintain this channel. And it took a lot of practice for me to do that. And as we've talked about before, you can raise your vibration primarily through meditation, consistent meditation, keeping your chakras very clear, open and balanced. That's very important, especially the heart chakra, but they all really need to be. Having an open heart and an open mind is superiorly important to being able to reach higher realms. So the idea is that behind channeling, you're able to raise your vibration enough to commune with beings that are whose energy and vibration is higher than yours. That's kind of, I would say, the process and the idea behind that. So some people would say that in order to channel, you need to shift your mind to achieve an expanded state of consciousness. And I would think that that's kind of true too. Now, how does one expand their mind? Like, how do you sit down and do that? Ah, that's so hard to talk about because I don't know that I have a proper definition for you. I may have one, but I don't know if it really works. So what I can really say is that you need to be able to tune into a higher consciousness. Again, you need to be able to reach up, not down. The trick with channeling is that you need to be able to raise your vibration high enough to reach higher realms while at the same time being super grounded into the earth. That was something that I struggled with, and that is something I still struggle with, and I'm going to create an entire episode on grounding because for some reason I've been a failure at grounding, even though it sounds so simple. For some reason I just have not been able to do it very well. But you have to be able to do both. Your connection will be so much stronger. You'll be able to hear so much better, and it'll be very, very powerful. So here's something I kind of looked up and wondered about myself when it comes to channeling. I think many of us have heard about these really popular channels in the New Age community who have been contacted by these entities. So it's not that the person actually really sought out specific entities to talk to and ask questions about life, in the universe. They were sought out by these entities to give messages. And the first person, which we talked about many, many moons ago on an earlier episode, was Jane Roberts, who was contacted by this entity called Seth, who gave all these wonderful messages about the universe and our thoughts creating our reality, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But there was another person who kind of came forth, who is this, I guess you could say, a New Age mystic by the name of Jay-Z Knight, who claimed to channel some entity named, I think it's Ramtha, I could be saying it wrong, who claimed to be a 35,000-year-old warrior spirit hailing from Atlantis. And I think there were a ton of books produced by this entity, which was also pretty helpful for a lot of people. So why do some people get contacted to produce messages for the masses, and why do some of us get nothing? I have no clue. I think that we all kind of signed in blood on the dotted line before we came here about part of the role that we wanted to play. And perhaps some of these people ask to be a part of expanding awareness and bringing forth so-called hidden information, you know, to the masses to move consciousness forward. I wouldn't be surprised if that kind of occurred prior to certain people's incarnation, but that did not happen to me. I'm just going to say that. But what you do see are a lot of common themes from these spirits, right? You find themes of universal love, like that these messages really reiterate and try to hit that home that we're all just love. You find messages about God, of course, what everybody wants to know about, you know, what really is God. You find messages just about cosmic unity, etc. So there are a lot of running themes that are similar that go across the board for all of these people. Same thing when we think about, who is it, like Abraham with Esther Hicks, right? Amazing messages there, so unbelievable, helpful. And that's why I think that sometimes entities do approach, because they do bring information that's not necessarily new, it's just recycled and repackaged, but in a way that's accessible to us today, that's modernized so that we can kind of shift our perspective about things and have a better understanding, right? And kind of deal with being on this planet a little bit easier. So there is a purpose for it. Now, what I would say is that, let's say with Esther Hicks, that's more of trance channeling, where, again, she has an agreement with a particular spirit who kind of joins and merges and meshes with her energy and enters her body to speak through to help the masses. Now, I kind of want to talk a little bit about trance channeling. I will say when I first began working with my spirit guide, it wasn't necessarily channeling. I could just hear him because I have clairaudience, and I could hear him super well. And so one day, it was like many, many months later, I had a conversation with them, and I was like, look, dude, you know, writing all this stuff down is getting exhausting. I think we should try trance channeling. It might be more helpful, and I can record the messages. And it was like while I was speaking, he was shaking his head like, no, you can't do that. And what he told me was that, you know, it takes a lot of practice, but more than anything, it takes a ton of trust, which I get it, to allow some sort of possession in a certain way. It's scary to kind of like just hand over your little body and say, okay, here, say what you got to say. And then we can, you know, kind of try to talk back and forth. And he was not about it for me. And that also made me wonder, you know, what are the downsides of it? And how do people really learn how to do this? How does one receive training? I don't have the slightest clue. After my guide and I kind of talked about it, I felt like he pushed me more into not doing that and just working with what I had and just sucking it up. So we never really went that route at all. Now, I kind of wanted to bring this to you, bring this back to a story about witnessing someone who was trance channeling. And I hope I don't forget to talk to you a little bit about mediumship, because some people conflate mediumship and channeling for a good reason. But okay, so this was like, excuse me, a few months ago, and I recently moved to a different state, and I've been looking for a community, you know, for a long time, and I still have not found one here, believe it or not. But I went to this channeling session with, you know, with this woman. Every time I would go to this bookstore, and they were having this session, and it was always sold out, so I thought, okay, that's a good sign. Let me go check it out. Now, I go and I sit in the back and I watch this lady, you know, begin to channel some entity who I think was nameless because they never said the name of the person or spirit. And the thing is, though, I could feel, because I can feel spirits very strongly, I felt something in that space and it was super strong. And so because I couldn't see it or hear it, I was like, okay, this feels like an archangel to me, but I don't know. You know, I'm just going to watch and be a spectator. So this lady, she was an older lady, her voice changed. It got very, it got deep, but in a way that she could have manipulated it herself. So obviously you hear me talking about this from more of a skeptical point of view, because I was. And the message that she gave was very much so in alignment with the things I've been talking about today, about love, about being love. So it was very general to the point where I felt like it was also kind of vague, where I felt like I could do it. It sounds so freaking mean. I felt like I could do that job. And it just didn't feel sincere. And I feel a little guilty saying that, but if I had to be honest, the message just, something didn't feel right in my gut. And I didn't like that because I felt like I was judging the person. And then I was like, am I just jealous that I can't do it? I don't know. So anyway, I sat there and I listened and listened. And like I said, I could feel something very intense in the room, but it felt like an archangel to me. And she never said it wasn't, you know, she never mentioned the angels in any capacity, okay? Just to give you a heads up. So at the very end of this session, and people were really feeling it, and I was like, how come I'm not feeling it? Everybody in the room, but not me, raised their hand, and they all were asking, oh, so-and-so, do you have a message for me? And then there would be a pause. And then the answer or the message was so vague. It was just so vague. I just felt like, and this was for every single person, it just didn't feel right. And again, I feel guilty, but I have to keep it real with myself. That's the one thing I promised myself when I moved to a different, you know, state and knew I was going to have to seek out a new community of people, that I had to have really strong discernment because I've been fooled before many times. And I have to say, my gut was like, no, this doesn't feel right. It's so general and so vague that it just didn't seem, something didn't seem right. So this is why I say you need to go for yourself. Don't just believe anybody and don't just believe anything. Go and watch a trans channeler yourself. Now, this message or this session wasn't geared toward talking to deceased loved ones at all. Some people, if you can remember, like during the whole spiritualist movement on the East Coast, there were mediums who were also trans channelers where the spirit agreed to come through them for the benefit of the family to talk about whatever they're going to talk about, you know, now that the person's deceased. So I've never seen anything like that with somebody shooting out ectoplasm, et cetera. That would just scare the hell out of me and I would just shut down 100%. But I think it's important, if you're interested in kind of moving into channeling at all, to go witness it yourself, because it may not be what you expect it to be. Now, like I said, everybody's different. So let's kind of talk about mediumship a little bit. So for trans channelers who are mediums, the trans channeler itself, like I said, has this agreement with the spirit allowing them to come in. And then you kind of do see that person's mannerisms change, their voice might change. And of course, the content of what they're speaking about is the most important thing because that gives, you know, legitimacy to the actual trans channeler themselves. But people who are mediums are not necessarily channelers. Usually mediums, being like myself, I would just hear, I can feel the spirit standing there like next to me or in front of me or beside the person, and they're talking to me or they're showing me what needs to be showed. I never made any kind of pact at all saying, okay, you can use me for a while. I'm going to say no to that one. So again, you can't necessarily expect, excuse me, that a medium also can channel your loved ones to that degree. They probably can hear or see them and give you the message that way, or they get impressions in some form or fashion, not necessarily being channeling. So I kind of feel like there was something else I wanted to add to this. Okay, so in terms of channeling, again, most of the messages that channelers will give will be positive and loving messages. So most of these messages are going to be loving, supportive, and encouraging, and they usually do apply to humanity as a whole and not necessarily an individual. Again, only if it's a particular medium who is channeling a loved one will you get those specific messages. But most channeling is just in relation to what's happening with the world at large. So I want to talk to you a little bit about conscious channeling. And this is no trance channeling. This is kind of a little, I would say, confusing to talk about, because the one thing I've even asked myself is, what's the difference between just having clairaudience and consciously channeling? Because to me, it's the same thing. Now, I would say the big difference is that when you're channeling, you're not necessarily hearing an outer voice speak to you. It's an inner voice that doesn't necessarily sound like you either, because it's going to be a very long, drawn-out message for you or for people. But when it's clairaudient, at least to me, it's an external voice that's talking to me that I can hear. So I can specifically tell, oh, that's my spirit guide talking to me. Oh, that's my angel, et cetera, et cetera. But with channeling, it's more of an inner process. So I'll talk to you about my experiences now. So when I first started practicing, and this is, I have to be honest, I never set out to channel. I didn't have any books. I didn't even really know what it was at the beginning. All I knew was that I could hear spirits and I would talk to them that way. But one day, I kind of was interested in talking to the archangels, and I wondered if I could actually really do it. I didn't know that I was going to need to learn to channel to be able to access that high realm. So what I did was trial and error. It was very messy and stupid. So I would practice like sitting down, and I would meditate. Of course, I would get myself into a very deep meditative state. And then I would be sitting at a desk with my book, my notebook and pen, and I would call out an archangel's name like 10 times. And then I could feel their presence, because again, I can feel spirits come in very heavily. So I knew something was there, and I couldn't necessarily reach them at the beginning. So I was like, okay, this is a bummer. What the hell am I doing wrong? Well, I kept remembering the message from my guide was like, hey, you know, you need to raise your vibration to get all the way up there. And I was like, okay, well, let me meditate some more. So I spent more time meditating. And then I think it kind of just, I somehow got it that you literally need to take your mind up high, meaning that you need to imagine in your mind's eye climbing, and this is just one method, climbing a staircase that goes way beyond this planet, all the way through the freaking Milky Way. And then for me, when I do that, I can feel it's like my spirit is rising out of my body to a certain degree. I can feel it lift up. That is the biggest trick to channeling. You have to see yourself go as high as humanly possible and really take the time to do that. But then you got to stay up there, okay? So once I kind of figured that out, it was like magic, because the next thing I knew, after many practicing sessions, just FYI, I called in Archangel Michael one day. and I could feel again this energy come in like a cloud and hover over my body. And all of a sudden, I heard so unbelievably loudly, even though I know it wasn't external. I could hear it in my head so loud, this very strong voice whose first words to me, and I'm not even kidding, I swear on my life, was the word hark. And I looked up. I remember I looked up to my right because I was like, what the hell is that? And then it started. It's like I could feel a stream of energy running from like the right temple of my head coming down. I could just feel it, and the words were coming. And I was in disbelief because it was so powerful to the point where I didn't want to question what was coming. And I knew a message was coming out in terms of what I was writing, because I was writing everything that was being said. But I didn't know the full breadth and depth of the message until it was done. And when I finished, and when it left, when Archangel Michael left, I sat down to read the message, and I was just in shock because I knew it didn't come from me. But also, I already knew it didn't come from me because I could hear this voice. And I was very much so in awe, I have to say. Now, I did include in my book all these channeled messages because there's a lot, and there's a lot that I still have yet to include that will one day be published in something else. I don't know. But it was very loving, but I will say that I don't mess around too much with Archangel Michael. I don't do any BS stuff because he's very direct, and he doesn't want to waste time. So I will say that was the first day I remember really, really channeling. The thing is, being able to maintain that connection was hard and easy. It was hard because I felt sick. I'm not going to lie to everybody. Being able to raise your vibration and keep it that high, you're probably going to have some sort of physical effect. And mine was extreme nausea and dizziness. So I knew that I needed to stay as focused as possible and try not to throw up. I know how that sounds, but it's the truth, just to keep it. Now, the longer I maintained the connection, the harder it got because the sicker I felt. And, you know, when I started to practice this quite often, I would even hear like my angels tell me, we need to take a break because you need to go lay down. Like, this is too high for you. And I would do that. I would actually go and sleep for like 30 minutes and come back and continue the freaking message. I mean, I was all about it, okay? It was just too interesting. I was learning way too much and I loved it. So one way to interrupt the connection is actually by asking questions and thinking the questions. You don't even have to vocalize it. Just because whenever I started to think about, you know, something that they were saying, they would stop, and then I was like, oh crap. And then sometimes I would lose the connection. Other times, because how do I say this? Because even though I hadn't even completely formulated the complete idea in my head of what I wanted to say, they still picked up the patterns, like they still knew. And then they would stop, and sometimes they would just address that, and then we would go off topic. So keep your questions to the very end. It's just so much better that way, so they could get everything they need to say out. So that's kind of been my experience with channeling entities. Now, I only chose to channel my guides, angels, and archangels, and deceased loved ones. That was my limit. Hard limit. Nothing else. But it did not prevent other types of beings coming to me. So it's like as soon as you open your channel, it's almost like it's an alarm bell to everything around you. Like, oh my gosh, she can hear. Oh my goodness, we're all going to jump in and talk to her at the same damn time, which also sucks, right? So at the beginning, even though I was only focused on certain beings, I had all kinds of things coming to me. all kinds, and they sounded all kinds of ways. Okay, and I really was not appreciative of, I'm not gonna lie, and I would ask like Archangel Michael to come in and take them away. I was like, I'm not about that. Others really were desperate to talk to me, just in general, and a lot of the messages came from beings who were very concerned about the state of the planet, like the actual physical planet itself, right? Now, you can tell these things to go, but you have to remember it's your responsibility to keep yourself very protected at the beginning of channeling and very grounded. But also, you can say no. You don't need to say yes to every teacher who steps forward to you. And you also have to think about what their intention is at the beginning. Like, what do they want from you? If they're trying to bargain with you, the answer is no. No bargains. I'm already listening to you. That's enough. No bargains. No tit for tat in any capacity. But there are all kinds of things. That's one way I really learned about the existence of all types of entities. And I will say, perhaps looking back, I was very narrow-minded because I really didn't believe in all types of beings. But now I really, really, really do, because that opened the door to everything and their mama. And I am so serious, and I was not having it either. But I also didn't have as much control at the beginning because, you know, let this be a lesson. Don't learn that way. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't realize that all my practicing, all my meditation, all of that just opened everything up for me, and I had no control. So make sure that you find a very good teacher when you're doing this, when you're doing channeling. It's very good to work with a teacher who can help you and really guide you. But also make sure that when you meet this teacher, make sure they really resonate with who you are. Don't work with them out of desperation. Trust me on that. Okay, I don't think I have anything else I wanted to tell you about channeling. I do encourage you, though, if you really want to learn how to do it, if you are like dying, you know, to talk with your angels or archangels, guides or whatever, like I said, find a good teacher. And also, let's say you've been looking and you haven't been able to find a good teacher, you can practice on your own, okay? Meditate first. Meditate for quite some time first. Make sure you have that skill down, because meditation also forces you to learn how to focus. Once you can focus very well, very clearly without any distractions, that's the best foundation for channeling, because when you are channeling, you're not going to want to be distracted at all. You want to be able to maintain that one channel the entire time, which requires a lot of focus and a lot of discipline. All right, everybody, I hope that this talk has been very helpful today. Thank you so much for listening. My wonderful book, Awakening the Psychic Self, A Christian Perspective, comes out on Tuesday, the 28th. I'm very excited about it. And everything I learned about channeling, mediumship, all my experiences just about have been thrown in that book. And all the messages that I got as well. So I hope that they are helpful to you guys. And I look forward to hopefully meeting and talking with some of you guys soon. Anyway, please enjoy your Memorial Day weekend, and I look forward to next week's talk. All right, bye-bye.